You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. Glad you are with us as we begin another week. It's Monday evening here on the East Coast of the United States, and wherever you are, it is what it is. Okay, so we have so much to get to. We have a very special guest, and I'm going to introduce her right off the top, and we'll discuss everything together for the beginning of the show. You've seen her, you know her. She's a great actress, Sam Sorbo. She also is a education freedom advocate, which is, I can't think of anything more important to be, quite honestly, in this day and age in this country. She's the founder of Underground Education to empower parents to educate their children. Her newest resource is the Playbook for Home Learning, plus the Playbook Page by Page. It's a video series. They go kind of hand in hand, the book and the video series. It's 15 videos, one workbook. Happier parents, smarter kids, stronger families, the whole thing. And you could check it all out at samsorbo.com. Sam, it's great to speak to you again. Welcome aboard.
Well, I'm glad to be here. We're going to have some fun.
And Sam, let me start with Joe Biden and the interview he gave on 60 Minutes yesterday. To me, the most important thing he said and the most troubling thing he said was he was asked about China again. And if China were to attack Taiwan, would we send, he specifically, would we send U.S. men and women to defend Taiwan? And he said yes. And of course, right afterward, the White House had to say, no, our policy hasn't changed. And this is the second time within a couple of months that this guy has said that about Taiwan and China. And then the White House has had to say, no. I mean, it's scarily, if that's a word, obvious that Joe Biden does not know what he's doing. He does as he's told. He says what he's told to say. And it's getting dangerous.
Well, I think what's really good in all of this is that the world has learned not to listen to him at all. I mean, he keeps making promises he can't. And then, of course, he just said that we're done with COVID. The pandemic's over. And the left is outraged because how dare you take away their brain trust, their brainchild, right? The way that they control the masses. And, he simply will continue to get himself into trouble if they keep letting him out of the basement.
Yeah. I mean, this was the first one-on-one type interview he's done. I think it was 7 weeks or so. And I don't see him doing much more. And I really don't think he's going to run. It's not up to him. I've said on the air, and I'm of the opinion that based on what Barack Obama said in November of 2020 after the election, when asked on late night TV by Colbert, you ever think what a third term would be like? And he said, yeah, I envision myself sitting in the basement and having a guy in the Oval Office with an earpiece. Well, that's exactly what this narcissist is doing, I believe. So if they tell him he's not going to run and they promised it to Kamala, she'll get the last year or something like that. There's no way he's running again.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly heard that from Barack Obama, and we're all under the impression that, in fact, what we hear from Joe Biden and what we've seen from his activities is that he is the third term of Barack Obama right now. And then the question is, who the powers that be on the left want to install after him. I honestly don't think Kamala stands a chance. She's so unlikable and she's so ridiculous. But then again, I thought Joe Biden was ridiculous. So what do I know? It's almost like we almost got Joe Biden to prove to us how I'm not going to say how stupid we are, but sort of how much we deserve. Like there wasn't anybody worse, really.
Yeah.
And and so to prove to us just how worthless we are, we got the very worst candidate possible, who's not even, a real person. He's an empty suit, you know.
Right. Right. I love when he says, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to take a question. I'm supposed to be quiet and stuff. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I wasn't supposed to say this. I wasn't. It's a wonder that he opens his mouth.
It's like elderly abuse. It really is. And I think the fact that he said, yeah, I've said I want to run. But, you know, reality, I think that's just a dead giveaway. There's no way he's running. All right. So let's get to the schools. And to do that, and I'm going to change the order of the cuts here. And I'm just going to go to in a second to 2619, the final cut. Bill Clinton was interviewed on CNN over the weekend by Fareed Zakaria. And he was asked about, you know, the midterms and could you keep the House? Could you keep the Senate? And listen to what he said. Here's cut number 2619.
We could hold both these houses, but we have to say the right things. And we have to note the Republicans always close well. Why? Because they find some new way to scare the living daylights out of swing voters about something. That's what they did in 2021, where they made critical race theory sound worse than smallpox. And it wasn't being taught in any public schools in America, but they didn't care. They just scare people.
So the second I heard that, I thought of you, because it certainly fits in with the whole school situation. And I love this. You know, the usual mantra is, I'm surprised he didn't add, Sam, that it's only being taught in a few law schools. I never understood that. That was their out. Oh, it's only in a few law schools. It's not taught in public schools. Yet we've seen the horrors that are going on in our public schools with young kids. And let's address this first. Talk about what you do. Talk about the organization that you founded, Education Freedom. Underground Education, and why and what bothers you the most? Is it the sexual stuff? Is it the critical race theory? Uh-huh. Is it that parents are labeled domestic terrorists? I mean, out of that whole group, what disturbs you the most?
What disturbs me the most is the fact that our schools are enacting child abuse on the children. And in fact, they perpetrated it on us, because it wasn't that long ago that we were also in school. Now, I don't go after the teachers. The system is against the child. So the system seeks conformity as its highest goal. We tell children they're each unique. To teach a child that he's just like everybody else, and that there's nothing unique about him, and that he's simply a collection of accidents, that he has no purpose in life, is self-defeating. It's defeatist for the child. It puts them on the wrong path. It's really just the wrong message to send to the child. Then you add to that the whole collectivist environment that the schools are, and forcing the child to sit for 8 hours a day behind a desk, and taking away the arts, taking away studies of the arts and physical education, for instance. All of these things really add up to nothing short of child abuse. And now, of course, we're seeing what's happening kind of behind closed doors, the things that we weren't even really privy to. But when you teach a young woman to have as much sex as she can, and to simply get an abortion if she gets pregnant, I consider that child abuse. I don't think that that is responsible toward that individual person, because I know too many women who have had abortions who live to regret it. And they made the decision when they were too young, and they were being influenced by people who didn't have their best interests at heart. And unfortunately, I would say that the whole system does not have the interests of the child at heart. The whole system serves itself. It has itself at heart. It wants money, and it sees every child as a paycheck. And in fact, I can prove that, because the highest goal of the schools is college prep and career readiness. And if you boil that down, that's simply valuing the child as a paycheck, which is what they teach children their worth is. And then these children grow up into human beings, into adults, and they think that their worth is tied intrinsically to the amount of money that they can earn. And if they earn a lot of money, if they don't earn a lot of money, they're sad because they realize that they missed the boat. They didn't do what they were told to do, right? And so they're sad, and they go on whatever Zoloft or whatever it is. But if they hit the jackpot, they earn a lot of money, and they find themselves unhappy because they have no spiritual life and they have no real purpose to their lives that's outside of the almighty dollar. They have no place to go. I think that's child abuse. I think it's abusive to not teach somebody that they have intrinsic value as a human being. And of course, we're seeing it play out in the streets today.
Yeah, and you went the child abuse route, which I agree with, but you didn't even mention. I can't imagine what you're going to call this. Probably more of the same, but maybe you have a different categorization for it. What they're doing to the kids? I mean, if a kid tells a teacher, and I'm talking about young kids, that they don't want to be, they think they're a girl when they're a boy, and then vice versa. now the teachers don't have to tell the parents, and they could go around the parents and let them use the different bathroom and the different locker room. And I mean, what is that? And how the hell did we get there?
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying for years that the school forms a wedge between the child and the parent. And now I've actually upped the ante, because what I think has happened is, over the past 100 years, the schools have perpetrated a grand larceny. They have stolen the parents from the child. They've stolen the child from the parents, albeit with the parents' acceptance, with the parents' cooperation. But what they've really managed to do is steal the family. And so we have parents out there who don't know how to parent, and children out there who are basically abandoned at this point to their phones, right, and to social media. This is a travesty. And so my whole organization, Underground Education, is developed to provide the resources to enable parents, to empower parents to educate their children themselves, to educate their children at home. I don't call it homeschooling, because it is not school. School is child abuse. I call it home learning. And I show the parents what we ought to be talking about when we talk about education. Steve, they did a really great bait and switch on us, because for years, when they were busy taking the Bible out of schools and busy taking ethical instruction and moral instruction out of the schools, they convinced us schools and education was really just academics and should only be focused on academics. And why are you bringing your biblical values into the school system? And we, for some reason, this was obviously before my time, we sort of, I'm sure that there were valiant fighters fighting against it, but we kind of went along with it, and we bought the lie that education is purely academic, that it's data entry. And it's not. Education is the whole body, mind, soul of the individual. Education is raising adults. Well, now we see in our schools, we're not raising adults. We're raising, grown children. We're raising large children, basically, who graduate from college, can't hold a job, much less a degree. And it's a setup for failure. And so I really encourage parents, and they can go to samsorbo.com. They can join Underground Education. It's an online community for free. All the resources they will find there. And I walk them through what parenting really means when you're talking about the education of your child and how to go about that. And so I empower them, because I've said this for a long time now. The core competency of the schools is to teach us how incompetent we are. They're very good at it. And so we think that we can't. The only reason you think that you can't is because you went to school. Don't do that to your child.
Yeah, no, that's just fantastic. That really is. And I'm going to ask you more about how the videos and the booklet and how, you know, how hard it is. But I what do you think of this theory? And I got to tell you, I've been saying this, and I've said this on this show, and I've said this before this show, on other shows that I did. And tonight I happened to see, not that he heard it from me, but I happened to see Tucker Carlson go down the same road. And I was thrilled, because not too many people are willing to talk about this. I believe that the ultimate goal in all this trans stuff at school, and you know, we don't have to tell the parents what we do with your kids, and they could use the bathroom, and girls could compete with boys and vice versa. And the books for kindergartners and first graders describing sexual encounters, even between adults and kids. And this push now, don't call it pedophilia. Call it minor attracted persons, capital M, capital A, capital P with a small S, MAPS. And I believe that that is the ultimate goal. I've heard these professors go on TikTok and on YouTube, and some of them have been fined and suspended or fired, thank goodness, and say, well, you know, children can make decisions. They make decisions all the time. And I believe that that is the push. That's where they are ultimately headed.
Yeah, I it's naive to think that they aren't headed in that direction. And of course, you know, way back in the day, we were saying, hey, let's preserve biblical marriage. And they're like, oh, you're so, you know, because otherwise we're going to end up with pedophilia. And now, of course, it's very obvious that we're going to end up with pedophilia being accepted and tolerated throughout our culture. And trust me, don't laugh at that, because that is what's coming. So we're going to have to galvanize. What I'm seeing happening right now is sort of a bifurcation of our culture. But you know, everything that the school does is to separate the child from the parent. If you can separate the child from the parent, then you can control the child through fear, through peer pressure, through just the fact that the child is naive and not educated. And then, of course, if you tell the child that he's educated, but you fail to educate him, right, then you've just created a monster. I think that this is more headed toward a totalitarianism wherein pedophilia is either lauded or upbraided, but it can go either way, you see, because what happens is under totalitarianism, the mantra of the day becomes anathema the following day, and it can flip on a dime, and everybody lives in fear because they think that they're towing the line, but then the line is moved and they're left out in the cold. And that's exactly what happened between Stalin and Trotsky in communist Russia. And so once Stalin did away with Trotsky, all of the Trotskyites, the followers of Trotsky, they had to spin on a dime and say, no, I never liked the guy. Hmm. When the day before they were like, yeah, Trotsky's the man.
Yeah.
This is the direction that it's headed. And unfortunately, we are such an uneducated population today that we are so easily led. I mean, look what they've done to us with the whole COVID mass hypnosis, basically. So, you know, we need to get back to basics. That's why I do what I do, because I think that the hope is in the future generation. I think that if we can raise children, we don't even have to, like, if you pull your kids out of school, you don't even have to do anything for it to already be a win for them. Then you show them how to read, show them, you know, have conversations with them, and let's start raising adults. And you will see a shift in the entire culture because you can instill a freedom mindset in your child far easier yourself than sending them into a government-run socialist education system and praying that they don't get preyed upon by the pedophiles and the child abusers out there with their gender ideology and all the craziness that's there. I mean, telling a child that they can change their genders is tantamount to telling them that they can fly and then taking them to the top story of a skyscraper.
No, it's just, it's
good luck
just,
with that.
I cannot imagine where we are. As so many have said before me, that, you know, if this used to happen, if you walk up to a kid in a park and talk to him like that, you know, you'll go to jail. But for teachers to be able to do it, they have no problem. All right. So listen, so this is really great. And folks, really, please check out samsorbo.com, SAMSORBO.com. Great actress. And what she's doing here is more important, in my view, than anything she's ever done. And I wish more people. So you people who would love to get your kids out of school and say, I can't homeschool my kid. I don't know how to do it. This comes with it's the playbook for home learning, plus a playbook page by page video series. You work with them both hand in hand, and you'll be able to do it. And really, as Sam has alluded to, save your kid. Sam,
save
any final words?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's let me just put it this way. Home education is easier than you ever dreamed and far more rewarding than you ever imagined. Your children have been stolen from you by a system that seeks their destruction. That much is clear. Now, what are you going to do about it?
SamSorbo.com. That's what. Sam, great talking to you. Sorry for the technical difficulty at the beginning. And we'll speak to you again in regards to your husband, Kevin. And we'll speak to you all soon again.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye. Sam Sorbo, ladies and gentlemen, actress and education freedom advocate. Underground education. And I mean it when I, you know, we talk to people, we've talked to moms before who start organizations, and that's great. And that's important. I just wish everybody could coalesce kind of around this program and these videos and this workbook and really start a movement and, you know, wherever and pull your kids out of school and do it yourself. It's so, so important. It really, really is. Okay. We have a lot more to get to, and we're going to get to it when we continue. I'm Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Shannon Joy is talking about.
Yes, there is a place for political leaders and presidents and governors and elected legislators, and they have a role to do. But our hopes and dreams, the saving of our country, the protection of our liberty, passing freedom to our children and grandchildren, it's not for them alone to shoulder. We, the people, the citizens, bear an enormous responsibility for the situation that we are in today. It is our apathy, our refusal to engage with alternate political factions, our digging in, our fear, our own cowardice, our refusal to get active and to engage in civics in our own communities at the local level. It's not sexy enough for some of us. We have conveyed the fight for liberty to individuals, politicians, factions, media players in Washington, D.C., hoping and praying that they're gonna make good on their promises and save us from this tyranny when we wanna sit on our behinds and do nothing whatsoever.
The Shannon Joy Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
In times of fear, World Vision has been there for the most vulnerable. For the last 70 years, we've stood with kids and families during some of the world's hardest times. Through natural disasters, war, and disease, delivering life-saving aid and support, helping rebuild lives, and empowering entire communities to lift themselves out of poverty. And we're doing the same today. Because rising to these challenges is in our DNA. And with every act of courage, faith, and love, at home and abroad, we do more than just stop the spread of fear. We replace it with hope. Learn more at worldvision.org.
This is the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Mr. President, first Detroit auto show in 3 years.
Yeah.
Is the pandemic over?
The pandemic is over. We still have a problem with COVID. We're still doing a lot of work on it. But the pandemic is over. If you notice, no one's wearing masks. Everybody seems to be in pretty good shape. And so I think it's changing, and I think this is a perfect example of it.
The pandemic is over. The pandemic is over, says Joe Biden, who doesn't know really what he's talking about. And you know, I'm sorry, I think I stepped on, there probably was more to the cut, and there probably was, and I could tell you what it was. He's at the auto show in Detroit for the interview, and part of the interview, and they're walking around, and he says, look, nobody here is wearing a mask, and they're doing okay, so that's kind of the proof of it. Oh, it's because the people at the car show aren't wearing a mask, that must mean the pandemic is over. Well, why do you wear a mask, Mr. President? You aren't wearing one there, but I've seen you in a mask pretty recently. Why did you justify the forgiving of $10,000 of loans, student loan debt for people making under $120,000 based on the pandemic? When there's no pandemic, according to you. This guy doesn't know what he's saying. Doesn't have a clue what he's saying. Oh, yes. Yes. American men and women. Yes, they will fight. If China does something unprecedented to Taiwan, yes, we will defend Taiwan with American men and women. And he said, just to be clear, they asked him on 60 Minutes. And he said, yes. And of course, then the White House had to put out a statement. No. What the hell is this? How could this be happening? How could this guy be president? In name only, I know, but still. I said from the day he was elected, he will not finish out his term. And I didn't mean nothing. And I didn't mean something's going to happen to him, like the health wise or anything. I just don't think he's going to finish out his term. I think the plan was that all along. I'm surprised he's going to finish out 2 years. I think that he already knows that maybe he has another year or in the middle of next year, maybe after the midterms, maybe next year. Who knows? Kamala gets her shot. And then somebody else takes over. I don't know how it's going to work, but there's no way that the plan was for him to go 4 years. I've never believed it from the beginning. Okay. And here he is asked about it on 60 Minutes, 26:18.
Sir, are you committed to running again, or are there certain conditions that have to be right?
Look, if I were to say to you, I'm running again, all of a sudden a whole range of things come into play that I have requirements I have to change and move and do.
In terms of election
laws. In terms of election laws. And it's much too early to make that kind of decision. I'm a great respecter of fate. And so what I'm doing is I'm doing my job. I'm going to do that job. And within the time frame that makes sense after this next election cycle here, going into next year, make a judgment on what to do.
You say that it's much too early to make that decision. I take it the decision has not been made in your own head.
Look, my intention, as I said to begin with, is that I would run again. But it's just an intention. But is it a firm decision that I run again? That remains to be seen.
He's singing a different tune. He's singing a different tune. And that's not somebody who's fearing election laws. That's somebody who has been told. He actually went on to say he'd have to sit down with his family. If his family tells him to run again, they should all be locked up for elder abuse, if not already. But there's no way they're going to tell him that. If that's even the truth, he's going to be told not to run. Not to run. And that's it. That's the end of it. I give you his word as a Biden. It's not hyperbole. It's true. It's the truth. Boy, he says that over and over lately. And like in every speech he gives while he's shouting with the fiery eyes, like it's the end of the earth, the end of the world. He keeps saying, oh, it's not hyperbole. I mean it. It's the truth. Okay. We get it. We understand. Oh, my God. It's scary. Scary. Okay. Let's move on. And away from that 60, we'll have more on that 60 Minutes interview tomorrow, and a 60 Minutes interview done with the president of Iran on the same program. The same program by Leslie Stahl. I did Give Me a Minute, a little feature Give Me a Minute that I do on TNT Radio on that interview. But there's more to it, and you'll hear some of it tomorrow. Now, and by the way, yeah, oh, well, you'll hear that tomorrow. But Peter Morici, the great Peter Morici, financial professor, expert, author, is going to be with us. And Biden on this 60 Minute interview was asked about inflation. If you haven't heard his answer, you're going to want to hear his answer. Again, out of touch, doesn't get it, doesn't know what he's saying. Really scary stuff. Really frightening stuff. Okay. Bill Maher on HBO on this past Friday, did a little monologue. And, you know, Bill Maher, he could surprise you every once in a while. Libertarian, I think, self-proclaimed libertarian. And he was talking about being woke. And here is cut 26-4.
Being woke is like a magic moral time machine where you judge everybody against what you imagine you would have done in 1066, and you always win. Presentism. Yeah, this professor is right. It's just a way to congratulate yourself about being better than George Washington because you have a gay friend and he didn't. But if he was alive today, he would too. And if you weren't alive, if you were alive then, you wouldn't.
There you go. All right. So he really hits it on the head with this whole woke-ism thing. You can't judge somebody by what they did when it was the norm, you know, 250 years ago. And imply or really believe and say that if you were there, then you wouldn't have done that. I mean, that's just ludicrous. It's nonsense. It's nuts. But that's really what wokeism is all about. I mean, there's different parts to it and different purposes to it. Of course, cancel people and all that. But that's really the theory of wokeism, if you think about it. And here he continues, cut 26-5.
Portland Public Schools has a plan now to teach kids that the idea of gender being mainly binary was brought here by white colonizers. The curriculum guide says When the United States was colonized by white settlers, their views around gender were forced upon the people already living here. Not even Star Trek would try that story. Where they discover a planet and give them separate bathrooms. It's like they finally discovered a unified theory of wokeness, incorporating all their ideas about race, gay, gender, and colonizers, like the New World was a great big diverse dance club and the Pilgrims were the bridge and tunnel crowd who came in and ruined everything.
Look, he's got it. He's got it. And what's going on in Portland and so many other cities around the country, as we just talked about with Sam Sorbo. By the way, that was samsorbo.com, samsorbo.com. Check it out. At the very least, you'll get to see a picture of Sam Sorbo, the actress, okay? Which is worth going to the website in the first place. Very beautiful woman. Okay. It's unimaginable. Unimaginable what he just said about Portland schools, but it's true. It's true. Genders? Oh, you know, that was brought here by that genders are man-made. It's a man-made concept. There aren't two genders. I mean, again, so how you got to really ask yourself. And there's nothing more important than this, folks. Everything I talk about, I think, is important or interesting, but there's nothing more important than taking our kids away from the family, brainwashing our kids. That's the future of the country, but it's our kids. That's more important. It's our kids. Now, it's not my kid. It could be my grandkid one day, God willing. You know, if God willing, I'll have a grandkid. But, you know, my kid's done with school. But look what this country is going to turn into. Look what it's turning into. Look what it's become. With this dangerous trash and these teachers who think they own your children. And a government that says if you question it, you're a terrorist. What country is this? Really? So I think Bill Maher hit it on the proverbial head. Now, there's a show on MSNBC that loves to just trash white people. You know, they say things about white people. And MSNBC, you know, hey. The station of Joe Scarborough, big conservative, his fawning little wife, Mika Brzezinski. You know, they have no problem with it. If they really had a problem with it, they'd go to management and say, look, get this stuff off the air, please. It's really not something I want to be associated with or affiliated with. They don't care. They don't care. Now, I've given you stuff from Ellie Mistel before. Justice correspondent for The Nation. This is the Tiffany Cross show. She took over for Joy Reid when Joy Reid got promoted to weeknights. This is via Mediaite. By the way, the Bill Maher stuff was via newsbusters.org. And I don't know what to say. I mean, this is him talking about conservatives and when they don't get their way and just listen to, this is going to be cut 26-7. Here we go.
The cause of the problem, of course, is Trump himself and his MAGA acolytes themselves and the people who are willing to do the violence in Trump's name. Again, I want to say that I'm not surprised that he's threatening this because A, he's literally done it before. And B, this is literally what conservative white folks do when they don't get their way. They turn violent. As a black man in this country, as a person who is aware of the black history in the New World, white people turn violent when they don't politically get their way all the damn time in this country. It's what they do.
It's what they do. White people turn violent when they don't get their way in this country. It's what they do. I don't know. To me, that's as racist a statement. I mean, there are other racist statements you could make, but you'd have to be hard-pressed to find one that's more racist than that. he just made a general comment about white people, all white people. He said white people, even conservative white people. Same thing. It's just as racist, even if he narrows it down to conservative white people. Really? Really? I haven't gotten my way many, many times. I've never turned violent. How about you? If you live in the United States. White didn't get your way on something. What'd you do? Lash out, throw something, hit somebody, shoot somebody, stab somebody. It's racist. It's darn racist. And MSNBC puts up with this crap. Week after week after week after week. What country is this? How do you get away? What if somebody went on and said on Fox and, I don't know, looked at crime statistics? I don't know what they are lately. I don't know. But what if they said, look at these shootings, you know, ignorantly said without studying everything, just said, look at the shootings in Chicago. Look at the shootings in Philadelphia. Look at the shootings in New York. Look at the shootings in Los Angeles. And said, well, it's blacks doing the shooting mostly, and victims are mostly black. And then made some disparaging, you know, remark or generalization about blacks and shooting. You know, that's what blacks do when they get bored. I mean, it's insane. That person be kicked off the air. But on MSNBC, you could go there and you could say almost anything about whites. It deteriorates further and further and further. Every time I put that network on, it's just insane, especially that show and Joy Reid from time to time as well. It's outrageous, outrageous. But this is the country we live in, and now this is acceptable. We've been through the whole bunch of crap, racist crap that exists in this country now, with firing whites first in a company or in a school district, and you know, housing for people of color. And if you bring a white person on, you're not allowed to because they want to get away from whites, and that's acceptable. Like, what is this? Where are we? Just insane. Oh, there's more. There's more. This is cut. Did we do 26-8 yet? I don't think so. If we did not, let's do it.
And so from the perspective of a black person, I'm kind of like, welcome to the world that I've been living in, America. Because now what we have is white domestic terrorists threatening to turn violence against non-black people, right, against everybody else, if the white supremacist ideology doesn't win the day and their white supremacist king is held accountable for crime.
Okay, so I mean, if you wanted to make it specific to white supremacists, as that would have been one thing. But I'm sure white supremacists haven't gotten their way on many things, and they don't turn violent all the time either. But he didn't. He said white people. He said that's what white people do. And that's just outrageous. He also weighed in on the immigration issue, Martha's Vineyard. Remember, we talked about that at length last week, where the governor of Florida sent people from Texas on a plane, 50 of them, to Martha's Vineyard, where they were promptly kicked off of Martha's Vineyard and sent to a military installation in another part of Massachusetts at Cape Cod. And according to the report I saw tonight, that's where they remain. Martha's Vineyard couldn't fit these 50 people. They had no bedding for them. They had no rooms for them. They had no, they just weren't equipped to take 50 people in. Gotta be kidding me. Anyway, so here's Ellie Mistel again. This is talking about the whole immigration thing, cut 26-9.
And now particular Republicans, particularly fascist Republicans, are trying to ship migrants around the country to make them suffer and try to expose for a MAGA lark and troll the libs. What I believe is happening here is kidnapping. It's not quite true to Hoyle human trafficking, just because the way our laws are written are kind of specific in terms of trafficking for the purposes of sex or labor. Trafficking for the purposes of having a laugh at liberals is not a human trafficking violation as I read the law. However, kidnapping is a thing.
Kidnapping. They kidnapped these people who thanked DeSantis for sending him to Martha's Vineyard, because they thought they were staying in that, island paradise. Little did they know the people there had no use for the 50 of them, couldn't fit them onto their island. All they had to do was open up Barack Obama's mansion. They could have fit 500 on there. And here's another one from him, more with the kidnapping nonsense. Cut number 2610.
Kidnapping by trick is a thing. Telling people that you were going to take them one place and sending them someplace else is a form of kidnapping. And I can prove that to you if I do the Matthew McConaughey thing. Now imagine they were white. Imagine Ron DeSantis goes up to a group of white teenagers, offers them some candy, and says, hey, I'm going to take you to Disney World if you get in my van. And then Ron DeSantis drives them to Busch Garden. That's right. Kidnapping. You're not allowed to do that. And so the people who did that, the organizers who did that, and perhaps even the governor, they should be charged with kidnapping.
So if so, I don't know which teenagers Ron DeSantis would be picking up in his white van, citizens or illegals. But if they were illegals and they picked him up and they said, we're going to take you to Disney World, and they only took him to Busch Gardens. That's kidnapping. Are you following this? Are you following this? Oh, but they were white. They were white teenagers. White teenagers. And I got one more before the break. On Wednesday, we're scheduled to have Roland Martin on. Roland Martin, you know, former CNN. He's got his own show, his own network. He's been around, almost as long as I have. We've had some big debates over the years, and he's coming on, and he's on Tiffany Cross's show, the same show that that you're hearing right now. This is from Mediaite.com. This is going to be not yet 2613. This is Roland Martin talking about the Democrats running midterms, and listen to what he says. Also, Tiffany Cross's show, same show that Ellie Mustel was just on. Cut 2613.
So what you're seeing are black men who are saying, you're not paying attention to me. You're ignoring what's happening when it comes to economics. You're ignoring me when it comes to the critical issues. And so what the Democratic Party has not done is create a specific strategy to target those individuals, because it comes down to numbers. Warnock beat Kelly Loeffler by less than 100,000 votes. And so you're the Democratic Party, and you're just ignoring these numbers. What did Terrence just say? You are ignoring the potential to win. You should be trying to get every vote. And I'm just going to go ahead and put it out here, because someone has to say it. The fundamental problem with the Democratic Party is that white strategists are controlling the money, mm-hmm. are controlling the strategy.
Yeah.
Yes, African-Americans are having input, but if you're trying to win, you better listen to black people. You better fund these initiatives. Otherwise, you're going to lose. And that gap is going to widen.
White strategy. That's the problem with the Democratic Party. White strategists are controlling everything. It reminds me of Simone Sanders, who was a Bernie Sanders supporter in 2016. After the election was over, and the presidential election was over, she went on CNN and she said, we don't need white people running the Democrat Party. And she made it clear she meant from the bottom, secretaries and people in the office, all the way to the top. We don't need white people. And what happened to her? Was she shunned? Was she thrown off television? No. She became an analyst. She wound up working for Joe Biden and was Kamala Harris's spokesperson. Because it's okay to trash white people. That's where we are. So Roland Martin, I'm sure we'll talk about that, among other things, when Roland joins us on this show on Wednesday. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and continue with one final segment on this beginning of the week edition. Steve Malzberg, this is TNT Radio.
Your climate news bought and paid for by big tech? Yes, you heard it right.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Checkbook journalism, NPR, National Public Radio, the taxpayer-supported media in the United States, has announced that Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg's foundation will be funding its climate desk. Joining this funding will also be the Rockefeller Foundation. The Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, as it's called, is now being known as, quote, philanthrocapitalism. That's right. They're calling big tech monopoly a form of capitalism. NPR will have no reason to practice journalism now when it comes to climate change, with their work being funded by Facebook and Rockefeller. You can bet NPR's paid press releases on behalf of climate activists will violate every basic tenet of journalism and instead feature only the approved messaging of their paymasters. A sad day in journalism. For the Marano Minute, this is Mark Marano on TNT Radio.
It's 4 a.m., Monday, and you're literally sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. Man, that's love. And if you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. To make sure your child's in the right seat for their age and size, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to follow me at Steve M. Talk on Twitter, on Facebook. Same thing, Steve M. Talk. Go to Instagram, Steve M. Talk. Okay, let us continue on. The mayor of New York City, Eric Adams, former police officer, was on CNN with Jake Tapper over the weekend. This is via Mediaite.com. And they were asking him, you know, about the, I think it's 2,500 illegals from Texas who have been bused to New York City by Governor Abbott. I love this stuff. I just love it. I should have said who have been kidnapped and sent to New York City, who have been trafficked, human trafficked to New York City. Well, they were in traffic in the bus, I'll tell you that. Anyway, so here's Jake Tapper to Eric Adams. This is cut 2611.
What's your message to Governor Abbott and Governor DeSantis about the migrants they ship to New York and other blue state areas?
Well, I think it's the message for the entire country. These are two governors who are hiding up some of the actions that they've done around gun control, which is really proliferating our country with guns, is what they did with the women's right to choose. You see, this is their way of covering up what many people have been really concerned about, the erosions of basic human rights. We're saying crisis calls for coordination. We received a minimum of 6 buses early this morning. Over 11,000 individuals, asylum seeking migrants, have come to the city already. It is time for us to coordinate this humanitarian crisis that our country is facing.
Yeah, well, Jake Tapper actually had a good question as a follow up. And here it is, cut 2612.
So you're struggling to process the 2,500 migrants sent to you from Texas. Meanwhile, the El Paso sector of the border sees an average of 1,700 migrants crossing every single day. A record 1.9 million migrants have been apprehended on the Southwest border this fiscal year alone. Even if you think what these governors are doing is horrific, it seems like you agree this is a crisis that needs more attention from the Biden administration.
No, I believe it's a crisis that needs more coordination from our country. You know, this is one country. This is a country that has always been capable of handling those who were seeking to participate in the American dream. And that coordination should be not only on the federal level, the state level, but even cities to cities. And we reached out to the El Paso mayor, as well as our team attempted to reach out to Governor Abbott. They refused to do any form of coordination. They think the politics of treating people in a humane manner to cover up, I believe, what they have done around human rights, the erosion of it for these last few years, is what they believe is the best way to handle it. I just disagree.
That was the mayor of New York City. And I got to tell you, I do think it's abusive to send people to New York City. I think they should all be prosecuted, the governor of Texas and anybody else who sends anyone to New York City. And I'll tell you why. And you would think Mayor Adams would be more concerned with what I'm going to say than 2,500 illegals bust from Texas. And as Jake said, 1,700 a day. cross the border into El Paso. What the heck are they supposed to do? So let me just give you some stats from New York City. Murders from 2021 to 2022 in July, the month of July, that's the latest stats. Murders were up year over year from that for that month, 34.3%. Shootings were up 13.4%. Robberies, 37.2%. And the spike in hate crimes under President Joe Biden, mind you, 50% spike in hate crimes. That's a 50% spike in hate crimes. But against Jews, the spike was 114% increase July 2022 compared to July 2021. Now, they used to try to blame attacks on Jews and hate crimes when Trump was president on Trump. Now, of course, a lot of the videos that I would see from the hate crimes that take place in New York, whether they be against Jews or Asians, I don't think many of them that I saw in the videos were Trump supporters. But nonetheless, it's just outrageous. By the way, the numbers I just gave you, part of a 40% jump in major crimes in New York City from July 2021 to July 2022. I want to get one more in. This is Geraldo Rivera on The Five on Friday via Mediaite from Fox News, of course. 26-3. Hit it.
But this was a wicked, clever, shameless, sleazy exploitation of these people.
Absolutely.
Bringing these people. Why didn't, if DeSantis really cared about them, he could have flown them to Joint Base Cape Cod, where they ended up anyway, rather than using these human beings as a prop to defame Martha's Vineyard or to expose Martha's Vineyard's elitism. It gave satisfaction to people at the expense of those who were transported. I really think that this, it was wicked.
Okay, it was wicked, ladies and gentlemen. At the expense of Martha's Vineyard, at the expense of exposing Martha's Vineyard. Oh, it was wicked. Yeah, I'm telling you. Okay, you can't make this stuff up. You'd never believe it. If I just told you that these people said these things, you'd say, ah, yeah, sure. That's why we play the bites, so you could hear it for yourself. All right, folks, tomorrow, be here. Peter Morici tomorrow, Roland Martin the next day, and Mark Morano on Thursday, and then the week's almost over. Where did it go? And where am I going? Steve Malzberg, thanks for listening on TNT Radio.